thank you guys for singing. I love hearing your voices, worshiping the Lord. If you have a Bible and you would like to follow along tonight, open up to kind of what we did last time, Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1. Hold your place in both of those spots because we're going to flip back and forth between Luke 1 and Luke 2 and Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. I know that Christmas is past us now a couple of days, and what we looked at last Sunday was kind of just two simple questions, which was, why was Jesus born, and then what qualified him to do the job? Two simple questions, but that the meanings of which are infinite and eternal when you look at their answers. So why was Jesus born, and what qualified him to do the job? And so what we saw last week was that Jesus was born, in the words of the angel to Joseph, to save his people from their sins. It was a very clear thing. The angel said, you were to give this baby that Mary is going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, you were to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's literally what the name of Jesus means. It means Yahweh saves, or Jehovah saves, or Yahweh is salvation. And that was the very clear message, and the very primary message, and the very primary reason for which Jesus came. And what we looked at last week was that if Jesus is not first and primarily the savior of his people from their sins, then everything else that he does is really pointless and worthless, and Jesus is of no significance if he does not primarily save his people from their sins. We talked about, yes, absolutely, Jesus is a healer, he is a restorer, he is a friend, he is a reconciler, and he is many, many other things. But first and foremost, if he is not first the savior of his people from their sins, then he has no real significance. And lots of people today want us to believe and think that Jesus is lots of other things, first and foremost, or primary, but primarily, I mean, it's literally the meaning of his name, that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And even if you look at all of the other things, and there's lots of folks who want to say, well, Jesus came to fix this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem, which he absolutely can and absolutely does. But the root of all of those problems is sin itself. And that's primarily what Jesus came to fix, was our sin problem. Yes, he fixes all other problems and offers help in all kinds of other areas and ways in life. But the root of every problem is sin itself, and that's primarily why Jesus came, which was to save his people from their sins. And so if he doesn't fix that problem first, then he really doesn't solve any other human problem. Amen. So that is what we looked at last week, that Jesus was born to save sinners, to live his life, to die his sacrificial and atoning death, and to be raised from the dead, primarily and chiefly to save sinners. And he does hundreds and hundreds of other things, but primarily it was and is to save people from their sins. So that's what we looked at last week. Today, what I want us to do is kind of a follow-up to Christmas, and really looking at it a couple of days later. And the question is this: if Jesus was born, so what? Or if Jesus was born, what is our appropriate response, or what is the appropriate human response if Jesus was born, right? We're 2 days now past Christmas Day, thinking back, 2,000 years ago to when Jesus was actually born, which, by the way, you may or may not know this, it probably wasn't actually December 25th. In fact, we have pretty good evidence to suggest it wasn't December 25th, but it was just the day that came in the church calendar to celebrate his birth, landed on December 25th. But we celebrate it. And so now if we're looking back in history, thinking when Jesus was born, thinking, okay, 2 days into his birth, what happened, or what was the significance of that? And so if he was born, so what? What's the appropriate response of humans looking at Jesus's birth and considering it? So to look at that, to answer the question, if Jesus was born, so what? Or if Jesus was born, what is the appropriate human response? I want us to look, we're going to look again at Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, and in Matthew chapter 2. So first, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 45. Luke chapter 1, verse 45, answering the question, if Jesus was born, so what? Or what is the appropriate human response to the birth of Jesus. Luke 1, I want you to look with me at verse 45. First of all, just back up real quick to verse 29. If you have verse 29, you're in Luke 1, just look back up at verse 29 real quick. This is when the angel was making the birth announcement to Mary, saying, hey, you're going to conceive, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Luke 1:29, Mary's first response was this. It says, but she, Mary, she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So first, Mary's response was fear. Like, she was afraid at all of these things. Now look down at verse 45 and look at what happened. Luke 1:45. This is when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And remember, Elizabeth was Zachariah's wife, who was going to give birth to John the Baptist, who would be Jesus' cousin and the forerunner, the one that prepared the way. Listen to what Elizabeth said to Mary when Mary comes to her house to visit her. And Mary, when she hears this, or when Elizabeth hears the sound of Mary's voice, it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this blessing to Mary, and over Mary was a Holy Spirit-inspired blessing that Elizabeth spoke to Mary. Listen to the very last sentence of it, Luke 1:45. Elizabeth says to Mary, under the power of the Holy Spirit, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So what we see in that first is Mary was first, her first response was fear, but that fear was overcome by faith. Her first response to this miraculous pregnancy that was going to take place in her was fear, but then that fear was eventually overcome by faith. Mary's response was fear that was overcome by faith. Now, look down at Luke chapter 2. I want you to see this. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. This would be when the angel has come out to the shepherds who were in the field. Remember, they're keeping watch over their flock by night. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. What was the response of the shepherds to that event? Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 15. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, that would be this angel army that showed up. And what we see first, there's one angel that spoke. And then it says there was then a multitude of the heavenly hosts, or this multitude of heavenly armies that came together and said to these shepherds. And I just want you to take a little side note here and think about this real quick. We often see nativity scenes, or maybe live nativities if you've ever been to one. And this is meant to offend you. We see in little nativity scenes these cute little baby angels, right, that are like cuddly and you just want to go squeeze their cheeks and all. That's not the biblical picture that we have of angels. The biblical picture that we have of angels is that they were God's armies and they were fearsome. And when they spoke, it shook the foundations. Like, you can look back in Isaiah chapter 6, it's the throne room of heaven. One angel speaks and it causes the foundations of heaven to shake. Okay. These angels are not cute little cuddly creatures. They are fearsome dudes who are God's armies. And we see in this scene in Luke chapter 2 that one shows up, and then it says a multitude. That would mean this, they couldn't even count. There was this multitude of these heavenly armies who say, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. And then this angel tells these shepherds, hey, there's born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Go to Bethlehem and you will find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. That will be the sign to you. Look at the shepherd's response in Luke 2:15. It says, when the angels went away from them, the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened to us, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told him. So what was the shepherd's response to these events, to this angel appearing to them, saying, hey, a Savior's been born? What was their response? Their response was fear that was overcome by faith. Or their response was the same as that of Mary. When the angel first shows up, the angel says to the shepherds, hey, don't be afraid. Why did the angel have to say, don't be afraid? Because they were used to seeing angels and they were really afraid. So the angel says, hey, don't be afraid. So they were filled with fear. And then the angel says, hey, this Savior has been born to you. So then the angel says, go and you will find this Savior and you will find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. So what was it? The shepherd's response was fear that was overcome by faith. The same response that Mary had. Now flip back to Matthew If you have Matthew, flip back to Matthew chapter 2. I want you to see a different response. Matthew chapter 2. A little bit of a different response. Actually, a lot of a different response. Matthew chapter 2. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 and see how someone else responded to the birth of Jesus. Matthew 2, 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now skip down to verse 16 of the same chapter, Luke 2, or Matthew 2, 16. It says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children of Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men." So what was Herod's response? Remember, Mary's response was fear that was overcome by faith. The shepherd's response was fear that was overcome by faith at the birth of Jesus. Herod's response was fear that was overcome by fury that led to a massive fit. Fear that was overcome by fury that led to a massive fit. Herod hears that this new king has been born. He feels threatened. He's scared. It says that Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him in Matthew 2, 1. He was troubled. So he had this fear, and that fear was not overcome by faith. That fear was overcome by fury. He threw a massive temper tantrum and said, "No one's going to take over my king. Go find this king and kill him." His fear was overcome by fury, and that fury led to a massive fit that ended up in the slaughter of many, many, many babies. So while we see that Mary and the shepherds responded to the birth of Jesus by fear that was overcome by faith, Herod responded by fear that was overcome by fury that led to a massive fit. Now, one other response I want you to see. Go back to Luke. I told you we're going to be flipping back a lot. Luke chapter 1, I want you to see one more. One more response to the birth of Jesus here, Luke 1:18. Now, this response is not directly related to the birth of Jesus, but it's semi-related because it's part of the Christmas story. This is where Zechariah is in the temple. He's doing his priestly job, and the angel appears to Zechariah while he's in the temple, and he says, "Hey, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth is going to conceive. She's going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name John, and he is going to be the one that is the pre-runner, the forerunner for the Messiah, Jesus, who is going to be born later." But I want you to see Zechariah's response to this because it kind of helps us see how we might respond to a similar situation, how we might ultimately respond to Jesus. Look at Luke 1:18 and how Zechariah responded to all this news from the angel. Luke 1:18, "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.'" So, can we just take a side note here? I think that this is funny to me. Zechariah doesn't call his wife an old woman. Do you see that? Do you see the gracious language of the scripture here? Zechariah says, "I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." That's like the gracious kind way of him saying, "My wife's an old woman too," but he doesn't actually say that because he probably knew that the word would get back to Elizabeth. Hey, he called you an old woman, and he knew better than that. So he didn't want to live under that fury too. So he calls her advanced in years, but that's just a sign. So when the news comes to Zechariah and the angel says, "Hey, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby," his response to that was, That this is foolishness and folly. Like he says, "Angel, do you know who I am? Do you know how old I am? Do you know how old my wife Elizabeth is? Like, we're way past the whole age of being able to bear children and have babies." So he considered this news of the angel to be foolishness and folly. Now, we know that Zechariah eventually did believe, right? He eventually kind of came around to the idea when he saw Elizabeth and she got pregnant. He realized, okay, this is all true. But his initial response was that this news that they were going to have this baby was folly and foolishness. So from these four responses, from Mary responding to the birth of Jesus, from the shepherd responding to the birth of Jesus, from Herod responding to the birth of Jesus, and from Zechariah responding to the birth of John, what do we see here in their responses? We see four responses to these births. One would be fear. Another one would be faith. Another one would be that they would consider these things to be folly and foolishness. So fear, faith, folly, and foolishness, all things to consider and all possible responses to the birth of Jesus. Think about this. The birth of the Savior, the birth of the King of the universe, the one who has eternal authority over us can make some fearful because we want to be in charge of ourselves. We don't want another person or God to be in charge of us. And that can result in us living in fear of God our whole lives. The birth of the Savior, the King of the universe, the one who has eternal authority over us, can seem like folly or foolishness to some. We can consider these things about Jesus, and we can reject them as folly or foolishness and go about our lives making up all kinds of reasons and continue living in our rejection of Jesus because we consider these things and we just think that's just too far-fetched. That is foolishness or that is folly. Or we can look at the birth of the Savior, the King of the universe, the one who has eternal authority over us, and by the powerful working of God in our lives, with his Holy Spirit working in us, we can have faith in these things. We can, by faith, receive these things as true, receive Jesus as our Savior, the Savior that he was promised and claimed to be, and be saved from the wrath of God against our sins and adopted into the family of God and become one of his dearly loved children. We can consider the things about Jesus, and we can respond in fear. We can respond in considering those things to be foolishness or folly, or we can respond by having faith in them. And I want you to think about this. This was not unique to the birth of Jesus. Throughout Jesus's adult life and ministry, there were people who responded to him in all of these kind of ways. Some people responded to Jesus in fear. Some people considered who he was and what he did to be foolishness or folly, but some responded to Jesus in faith. You can see it all through his life, and you can read that through the Gospels. So some possible responses to Jesus are foolishness or folly or fear, or we can have faith. Now I want us to look at some more responses to the birth of Jesus. Go back to Luke chapter 1 if you're there. Luke 1, 46 and 47. I want you to see some more responses. Luke 1, 46 and 47. This is when the angel has come to Mary and said, hey, you're going to have a baby and your cousin Elizabeth's going to have a baby and your baby's going to be Jesus the Messiah. And Mary's just kind of thinking about all this stuff. She's overwhelmed by this series of events that have happened to her and her family members in recent days. Look at Mary's response. Luke 1, 46. Sometimes this is called the Magnificat or Mary's Song of Praise. Luke 1, 46, it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked at the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. What was Mary's response to the birth of Jesus? Mary responded to the birth of Jesus with worship. She responded with worship. This is a whole song or something that she said that was just, she was overwhelmed with all these things, and her response to these things was worship. Look now down at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke 2, 8, back to the shepherds. Mary responded in worship. How did the shepherds respond? Luke 2, 8 through 14. Listen to this. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, look down at chapter 2, verse 18, just a few verses down. Verse 18, it says, and this would be when the shepherds came and finally found Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And they told them all these things. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things in her heart, pondering them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising him for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told them. So the response of Mary was worship. The response of the angels at the birth announcement of Jesus was worship. And the response of the shepherds when they finally went in and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, their response was worship. There is great worship to be had and that was done at the birth of this baby. They felt wonder and they felt worship. The angels, Mary, and the shepherds. Now flip back real quick to Matthew. I want you to see Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Listen, this is after the birth of Jesus, or a response to his birth. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to what? Worship him. So even these wise men who were probably some kind of star worshipers, stargazers, astrologers, they saw this star and they came to find this one who this star was. And they said, hey, we came to worship this one. And what do we see? Look down in verse 10 and 11. This is after they've left Herod and they actually show up and find Jesus. This is the wise men, Matthew 2:10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and what? Worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts and gold and frankincense and myrrh. So the wise men show up, and what is their response to Jesus? Their response is worship. So we see the wise men, Mary, the angels, and the shepherds, and even the friends of Mary and Joseph, and you can look later in Luke and see the responses of Simeon and Anna. Their response to the birth of Jesus was worship. Now, look at Matthew chapter 2. We're in Matthew 2. Look at Matthew 2, 7 and 8. Not everyone worshiped at Jesus' birth. Matthew 2, 7 and 8. This is after the wise men came and told Herod, hey, where's this one who's been born? Herod brings them in. Look at Matthew 2, 7 and 8. It said, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them the time that the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. So Herod's response was, hey, wise men, when you go find him, bring me word because I want to go worship him too. But this was a false or a fake worship, because here, what Herod really wanted to do was to find him and kill him. So Herod's response was that he found these things to be absolutely worthless. Rather than Herod responding in worship, he found these things to be worthless. So looking at this, we can consider the things about Jesus and his birth, and we can wonder and worship at them, or we can look at these things about Jesus' birth and find them to be worthless. Again, through Jesus' adult life and his adult ministry, people were healed by his miracles and heard his teachings and saw all the incredible things that he did and that he taught. Many, many people, some of them wondered at these things and worshiped at them, but some people, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, found Jesus to be worthless. You can read about this in through the gospel. Some people wondered, were amazed, and some people worshiped him. But then there were some Pharisees, Sadducees, other religious leaders who found Jesus to be worthless. So it's not just tied to his birth, this whole wonder and worship and worthless. It's tied to his whole life. Lastly, I want us to look at this and a few other responses. Go back to Luke 1. This is when the angel has made the birth announcement to Mary, and the angel saying, hey, you're going to conceive, you're going to have a son, you're going to call his name Jesus. Let's look at Mary's response to that. Luke 1:38. And Mary said, this would be Mary saying to the angel, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What was Mary's response here? Mary's response to these things was obedience. She responded in obedience. She said, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary responded in obedience. Now flip back to Matthew. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 1. We haven't talked about Joseph yet today. We're going to talk about Joseph. Now Matthew 1, 24 and 25. This is when the angel has told Joseph, hey, Mary is going to conceive. You're not to get rid of her and put her away in the horse yard. You were to take her to be your wife. And you're going to give him this son that she's going to marry. You're to give him the name Jesus. Look at what Joseph does in Matthew 1, 24. When Joseph woke from his sleep, this would be this vision he was having of this angel. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What was Joseph's response? It was obedience. Mary's response was, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said. Joseph obeyed. Mary obeyed. And you even see this later in Joseph's life. If you look at Matthew 2, 13 through 15, this would be after Jesus was born and Herod was looking to find Jesus and kill him. The angel told Joseph, hey, take the child and his mother and go to Egypt. What did he do? He obeyed. You can look down in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. This would be after Herod died. The angel appeared to Joseph and said, hey, take the baby and his mother and go back into Israel. And they lived in Galilee and Nazareth. What did Joseph do? Joseph obeyed. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. Flip over there, Matthew 2, 12. The wise men, what was their response? Matthew 2, 12. This would be when the wise men have worshipped Jesus, they found him, and the angel tells them something. Matthew 2, 12, it says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. How did the wise men respond to this command of the angel? They responded in obedience. Go back to Luke. I promise you only have two more flips, and then I'll be done making you flip around. Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Luke 2, 15 and 16. This is after the angels have appeared to the shepherds and told them, hey, you're going to go find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger, and that will be the sign. Luke 2, 15 and 16 says this. When the angels went away from them, the shepherds into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. What was the response of the shepherds to these events? They responded in obedience. I want you to look at one more. Go back to Matthew 2. One more response. So to catch us up, we have Mary. We have Joseph. We have the shepherds. We have the wise men. All of them responding to these events in obedience. Look at Herod. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem in that region and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. What was Herod's response? Herod's response was not obedience, it was opposition. Herod responded in opposition, not only in opposition to the birth of Jesus, but in opposition of God's command to value life because he ordered that 30 or 40 or 50 babies be slaughtered. So Herod's response to the birth of Jesus was not obedience, it was opposition. And the same is true here. Throughout Jesus' adult life and ministry, there were people like his disciples and those who heard his teachings and who were healed by him, who obeyed him. They showed obedience to Jesus and to his words. But there were also people who, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and other religious leaders, who opposed Jesus. They did not obey him. They opposed him. And you can read this all throughout the Gospels. Now, I want us to put all this together. This is a lot. I want us to put all this together. How do we respond, or what is the human response to the birth of Jesus? There are many, many ways that people respond to Jesus, to his birth, to his life, to his death, and his resurrection. Some receive him, but many reject him. The appropriate human response to Jesus can be summed up in these words that we've already talked about, in faith and worship in obedience. That's the appropriate response of humans to Jesus, is faith and worship and obedience. Listen, we can hear teachers and preachers, we can hear parents, and we can even read the Bible ourselves, and we can see all of these wonderful things about Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his miracles, his resurrection. And we can, by God's grace and his Holy Spirit working in us, respond to those things in faith and worship and obedience. And that's the appropriate human responses. I just want to take a little side note here and say that these responses are inseparable. Faith and worship and obedience are inseparable. Think about this. If we say that we have faith in Jesus, but we don't worship or obey him, do we really have faith at all? Like if we say, hey, I have faith in Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but if we don't have obedience and worship, do we really have faith in Jesus at all? Is our faith in him really genuine if we say we have faith and we don't have worship and obedience? Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Okay, don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying that our salvation is secured by works or worship. Our salvation is secured by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone and his completed work in his life, death, and resurrection. But worship and obedience, or worship and lives that honor God, are the natural and the biblical result that should happen from lives that have been saved by his grace. Jesus himself said in John 14:15, if you love me, this is Jesus, if you love me, you will obey my commands, Jesus said. So worship and obedience don't save us, but they are the evidence, they are the proof of our salvation. So the appropriate human response to Jesus is faith and worship and obedience. But on the other side of that, the other side of that is this. We can hear teachers and we can hear preachers and we can hear parents, or even read the Bible ourselves and see all these wonderful things about Jesus and his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. And we can respond in fear. We can respond in fits of rage. We can consider it to be folly and foolishness and worthless. And we can reject these things and oppose them. We can hear all these things about Jesus. Listen, we can hear it all, and we can respond in faith and worship and obedience, or we can respond in fear, fits of rage, and find it to be folly, foolishness, worthless, and live in opposition to it. And what I want us to close with is considering this. What is your response to Jesus? That is the question that we must ask ourselves. Have you considered these things in the Bible about Jesus and responded in faith and worship and obedience? Or have you considered the things about Jesus and the Bible and you have responded in fear or in fits or found it all to be worthless and opposed it? Responding in faith and worship and obedience to these things, responding in faith, worship, and obedience to these things will result in eternal life. But responding to these things in fear and fits and finding it to be worthless and opposing it will result in eternal death. So the questions to ask ourselves tonight are this. Have you received Jesus or have you rejected him? Have you seen Jesus and do you look at him and see glory or do you see gloom? Do you treasure Jesus or have you turned from Jesus? Do you have faith in Jesus or do you find all this to be foolishness? Does your heart hallow Jesus or is your heart hardened toward him? And so I plead with you, if you have not already, receive Jesus as Savior by faith in him. Receive him, worship him, and obey him. And if you have received Jesus, remember the importance of worshiping and obeying him. He is worthy of our worship and he demands our obedience. Christians, don't neglect worship and obedience to Jesus. And lastly, I want to close with this. If Jesus was not born, then none of this matters. If he was not born, none of this matters. But if he was born, and if we can trust the biblical accounts about him, then all of this matters infinitely. Like, this is the most important thing you will hear and see and read about in your life, if he was born. But if he was not born, none of it matters. Will you receive this or will you reject it? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had to be in your word. Father, thank you for your word, for the way that it instructs us and teaches us these incredible things and truths about you. And Father, these are joyful truths, Lord, to us who are being saved. But Lord, to some who are not saved, it's folly and foolishness. And so, Lord, I plead with you that those who are listening to my voice or may hear it later, that, Father, you would work in their hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit through your word to save them. Lord, help their folly and foolishness towards these things turn into faith. Lord, take away the hardness of their hearts and help them to hallow, to worship you, and to find faith in Jesus and see the beauty of his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection on their behalf. Lord, save sinners. Just like we talked about last week, like why Jesus came to save sinners, Lord, I pray that you would save people. Father, I pray for those who are saved, that you would help them to see and be reminded and refreshed of the beauty and the magnificence of these stories we see about Jesus. And Lord, that they would respond, Lord, in obedience and worship. Lord, that we would be reminded as believers that we have a responsibility to worship you and to obey you. And Lord, that you would work all of these things by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, through your word at work in us. I pray these things in Jesus' name.